on the edge of sanity. Psalm 13 says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God." We have heard the comment about people. They're a person on the edge. It meant that they're living on their emotions. Now, God has made emotions for a purpose, not to be the governor of our lives, nor to be predominant over reason and faith, but emotions are mighty important to us just the same. Our reason comes high up the list, but faith comes even higher still. Years ago, we were having few results in our ministry. The income was low. It was discouraging. During that time, I bought a book of short writings by various prize-winning authors. One author described how he felt when he was trying to sell his first manuscript. He walked from street to street, office to office, in shabby clothes and worn-out shoes. He was turned down by publisher after publisher. He described how he lived in semi-squalor, feeling no better than a squatter, feeling that he was on the edge of sanity, thinking that he had a marvelous manuscript, but no one else had the same opinion. I could relate to that man, believing that God had called me to minister the gospel, but few were responding. It felt as if I was living on the edge of sanity. Was God with me or no? Here David asked the same question. When things go unbelievably wrong in our lives, there seems no relief. It can feel as though we are living on the edge of sanity. Is God with us? Are we living in the land of make-believe? Worse still, others criticize us, and we wonder if there is some truth in their arguments. The aspiring author that questioned his own sanity could look back and see that the faith he had in his workmanship was right. He was now a prize winner. In the future, we will be able to look back and see the faith that we have in God's power is effective. There is a lovely assurance that it will be worth it all when we see Jesus, and life's trials will seem so small when we see him. We believe the unbelievable. We know the unknowable. We see the invisible, and trust God, who is having to keep an eye on the entire universe as well as on us. Faith and patience will inherit the promises. David used the singular when speaking of his adversary in Psalm 13. He calls him my enemy. Was this psalm written when he was on the run from the jealousy of Saul? If so, while David was in the damp and cold and stench and darkness of the cave, his anointing by Samuel those years ago must have seemed no more than an empty gesture given by a disillusioned old man. David nearly had a wobbly. Verse 4 of Psalm 13 says, "My foes will rejoice because I am shaken." It could be translated, "because I'm having a wobbly." David's Psalms were a journal of his past experiences. He remembered what he had been brought through. And now, millennia later, those of us feeling the desperation of being on the edge of sanity because of some of our prayers being unanswered, know the experience that David had was just the same, almost reaching to despair. Richard Middleton called the authors of the complaint psalms God's loyal opposition, and these helped him through a dark period of his life too. Paul too felt he was on the brink of insanity at times. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 13, he says, if it seems that we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right mind, it's for your benefit. Bill Wilson said, if you keep on serving God when things go wrong, when your commitment is greater than your emotions. Jesus' sanity was questioned too in Mark 3:21. When his family heard of it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, he's gone out of his mind. Paul as well, because Paul defended himself to Festus, and Festus shouted, you are mad, Paul. Your great learning is driving you mad. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, was considered a fool by many. Once he led a small group of missionaries who were going to India up the ship's gangplank. He did it by walking backwards and playing the tambourine. A well-known man saw him and stated he was a fool. Not many years later, William Booth was asked by the governor of India to sort out an unruly province because they thought that only the love of God couldn't change the people, or we might be on the edge of sanity. But I tell you this, he will see us through. There are none so sane as those that trust the Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.